Blog Talk Radio.
To all my people in the struggle, you think God's forgotten about you. Here's some pain medicine. Let's go! You in your car, you at the house, on your job, be encouraged, boo. Come on! A long way. That's why we love you. Come on.
Yes, yes, yes. That's why we love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for another day. Father, we just come before you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. I'm continuing reading from my book, my first book, Be Made Whole, the book the Lord had me write several years ago. And impressed upon me to release this in the atmosphere, two chapters at a time. So today's chapter is called Reprobate. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Matthew 3:2. After leaving my previous job, I started back in business, this time as a freelance educator and tutor manager director. I did contract work, giving history lessons to middle school students and guiding them around Washington, D.C. During the down months when business was slow, I sought other employment until the season started again. During one such time and period was in 1993. I got a job working part-time at a gospel promotion company. The owner, David Hilton, not his real name, because he is pretty famous, was a radio personality who also had a business of his own. It was a promotion company where he hosted various events throughout the city. The company would secure singers, choirs, and traveling ministers. People would call the office and ask if they could get such and such. Usually there were big names in the gospel music circuit. The promotion company was located in David's townhouse in the heart of the city. Now, David lived upstairs and the office for the promotion company was downstairs. I remember being so happy to be working on what I thought was the heartbeat of God, gospel music, God's music. I approached each day with eagerness. I just knew that this was an area where I could work with Christian artists and learn how to minister to the people through their example. One night, I attended a music function with David and Keith, my supervisor. It was held in a very prominent church. A well-known preacher, who was also a singer, was about to go on stage. We climbed the steps to the church and went to the back room where he was waiting. I still remember watching this man of cloth sit back in a chair and ask, no, demand his fee from my boss. This had to be provided before he would even consider ministering to the people. Initially, I was taken aback at this outright demand for a performance fee. After all, wasn't he a man of God? Maybe I was wrong, but I thought a man of God was supposed to be gracious and accept whatever the congregation or people would give that night. David pulled him aside from our hearing and told him something that made him nod and say, sure, okay. Then we all left. Now, David went on stage and said words he rarely said in the office. Isn't the Lord good? Praise God. Are you ready to meet? What an act. Or was I just being too judgmental? or was I simply too naive to understand the Christian entertainment machine? That night and subsequent encounters later, God wanted me to see what was hidden behind some of the people in the gospel music industry. What shocked me was to find that there is an acceptance and prevalence of practicing homosexuality. Maybe it's like that in all genres of creativity, but I didn't know it would be so pervasive in the Christian arena. I saw that these same men whose wives would be in the audience come on stage, talk about their wives, and then go off stage to meet their male lovers. And they also frequented gay clubs. I knew this because of my dealings over the years with homosexuals. I had numerous friends who were homosexuals, and both of my bosses, unbeknownst at the time I entered employment, were also gay. I loved the people, but I knew their lifestyle wasn't pleasing to God. I didn't understand what God is doing with me and allowing me to see all this. I prayed to God to show me why I was in this environment and confronted with this dichotomy of the gospel music industry. The answer came one day when my supervisor, Keith, and I went to lunch. I don't know how we got on the subject, but he told me everything about the gay lifestyle from his perspective. He told me he had seen a spirit of homosexuality as a child. A spirit? It's a spirit? I inquired. Yes, and it comes after us, Kathy. I know it. He then told me about how he accepted the Lord and how a male choir director at the church molested him. Outrage. How can someone do that to a kid? I was glad that he opened up himself to me so that I can understand his struggle with homosexuality. I had met many men in my life who were, quote, gay, and I found them to be very caring individuals, but I didn't understand why they were homosexual and not heterosexual. I had many questions and thus felt the Lord was having me enter this season of my life to observe and learn. Kevin told me that many young men that he knew had been put out of their homes when they came out, and with nowhere to go, they head to gay clubs. Whoa, wait a minute. How do they get in if they're underage? I inquired. The clubs are designed as restaurants, and therefore they're able to get in. While there, they get picked up by older men who recognize their dilemma. They can identify with their rejection and subsequently draw them in further by taking them home, feeding them, clothing them, and even connecting them with other gays for employment, he told me. It's like being part of a family, Kathy. One night, he called me at 2 o'clock in the morning. He sounded upset and frightened. Kathy, you won't believe what just happened to me. He was gasping for air. I was in the club with some friends, and about 20 minutes, I heard a loud voice that said, "Get out now." At first, I didn't believe what I was hearing, he continued. Thinking it was someone behind me, I continued to dance, and the voice said again, "Get out now." He knew that this was the voice of the Lord, and if he didn't obey his voice, something terrible was going to happen to him. He told his friends that he had to go. He left and called me. "I called you because maybe you can tell me what's going on with me," he said frantically. I knew what was happening to him. Keith had received Jesus in his life, and even though he had departed from the ways of the Lord, Jesus never left him. Because it had been revealed to him about the spirit of homosexuality, God was telling him not to fall into the trap Satan had for him. God was dealing with him. We talked and I prayed with him, and it was an hour later that he called and told me that God just spoke to him again, and this time he told him about the HIV/AIDS event that we were planning. "Kathy, I'm not to charge for this event." Now, this was an event where the company had planned on making lots of money with ticket sales. The Lord told me not to charge for this event. Wow. I thought, this is deep. God was revealing to keep his hands off of something that would involve ministry, and God didn't want the event to be sold for any price. He was scared. I told him that he had to do what God commanded him to do. Try to get some sleep, and I'll see you in the morning, I said. The next morning, Keith met me at the desk. What should I do? What should I do? I encouraged him to follow what the Lord told him to do and that I would be there to support him. Now, later that afternoon, we had a staff meeting. It was upstairs in the living room that was converted for our meeting. David asked Keith about the ticket sales for their coming event. Now, Keith looked at me, and then he looked at David, and he stumbled with the reply, ticket sales haven't been great, but I have something to tell you, David, he replied. I can't charge for this event. What? What are you saying? Why can't you charge for this event? David asked angrily. Keith told him what happened to him in the club last night and how God spoke to him there and later commanded him not to charge for the event. God didn't tell me such nonsense, he said. He mocked the way God told Keith. He continued his rant. I've been a homosexual all of my life. I'm the top DJ in this city, and I lead one of the largest choirs in D.C., and I own a gospel. I put my hand up. Please, David, please. I tried to stop his tirade. I knew that what he was saying and what he was about to say would seal his own fate and would bring God's judgment. Oh, my God, I knew it. Please, David, don't say any more. Please, I pleaded. He looked at me and he rejected my plea and continued his tirade. God didn't tell me not to charge for this event, and if God had something to say, he would have told me. God or no God, I'm going to charge for this event. I lowered my head. It is done, I said to myself. I sensed that out of his own mouth he had sealed his fate. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Matthew 12:37. David then looked at Keith and asked, Keith, are you going to do the project the way I planned it? Keith looked at me. Then he looked at David. No, David, I can't do this anymore. Then clean out your desk. You're fired, David said to Keith. Keith got up from the sofa and disappeared down the stairs to gather his belongings. I was stunned. A sense of dread came over me. David then looked at me and said, Kathy, it's your event now. No, David. I wouldn't touch this project with a 10-foot pole. Well, you can leave too. I got up off the couch, made my way downstairs. Excuse me. I gathered my few things and walked out with Keith. As I was walking out the house, I looked at Keith and said, don't look back. Judgment is coming on this house. When I said that, immediately I thought of what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah. I told Keith that he did the right thing and that sometimes God causes us to do things that be difficult for, but it's for our good. We may not know the outcome, but we are simply to be obedient and do what he says to do. I called Keith a few months later to see how he was doing. He told me he had a new job. Then I asked him if he had heard anything from David. He said, Kathy, David lost his job at the radio station. He lost his business, and he's now living in a nursing home with full-blown AIDS. He's not given long to live. Thank you for listening to this chapter, and continue tomorrow with another chapter or chapters. Thank you. Have a blessed day.
To all my people in the struggle, you think God's forgotten about you. Here's some pain medicine. Let's go! You in your car, you at the house. a mighty long way. That's why we love you. Come on.